Amar Seichel, Avla Maisim Mochiach Sheyichud Oimid Lizgalis. So the Seichel says, despite the fact that we're talking about the world needing to evolve towards Toiv, but Maisim Mochiach Sheyichud Oimid Lizgalis. He asked before, how come, when he asked the Chachilah to draw a picture of the world and its tachlis and so on, he drew Yichud and Mishpat and what's going to be Mizgala and so on. So he asked, well, why don't you draw the picture simply that everybody has a chance to do good or bad, and they get schar and they get oinish and so on and so forth. Why do you have to come onto this whole mahalach that there's a kolosik mahalach of Yichud and so on? That was his question that he did in Mem Gimel. He said, why place Yiddishkeit on this axis? And so now he's going to reply to that. The
two options are what? That it just it's a specific individual experience?
It's like if someone were to ask you in a Kiev situation, somebody asks you, well, you know, why was I created? What's my task in the world? What am I supposed to do? Well, you were given Bechira, you have a chance to have various mitzvahs, you're going to, get schar for this and that. That's a perfectly... Right. And the truth is, if you take open the Rambam's Ikrim, where the Rambam's Ikrim are Lechura listed in terms of what's absolutely necessary for Yiddishkeit. So through Torah Mitzvah, we understand. Schar v'onish, we understand, because that's kind of a driving force in the obligation to keep Torah Mitzvahs and so on. But what's the... But why Mashiach?
The bigger picture.
The bigger picture. Exactly. It's fascinating also, if you take a look at another Sefer, which is quite different than this, the Kuzari, when he speaks to Kuzari, Kuzari's description of Yiddishkeit deals with the Jewish nation rather than with each individual. It's a very national focused exposition of Yiddishkeit. In a certain sense, you can argue that maybe the only real the fullness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose is only when you have the nation, because since nobody ever represents the entirety of Tov, it's only realized when you have the Klais all together. But Akapanim, he asks this question. Amar Seichel.
Doesn't the Torah itself do that? So when the Torah goes from Adam HaRishon to Noah to Avraham Avinu to Klai Yisrael, isn't the Torah implicitly making the statement that which was supposed to happen through Adam HaRishon could have happened possibly through Noah, but then it was rejected and could have happened?
No, because for that you have the following explanation, that in order because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the whole world to do Tov. In order for that to have to happen, you need a corpus. You need a nation, because it's the only thing that ever it makes an impact. But one could have argued that had there not been a chet aver, whatever it is, Adam would have been a fine person. His children, each one in his own, would be a very nice person. True that you have, it's convenient to hook up as nations, but that's already a kind of a secondary feature.
Well, it's interesting that Torah itself really doesn't focus on the national peace. Narratively, it does, but legalistically, it doesn't. I mean,
that's not true. Well, that's plural, but it does. It speaks about malchus, and Mashiach is really a melech. In other words, the whole structure of a government, of having a melucha and a malchus, a Sanhedrin, those are all things that deal with a tzibur only. You can only have it as a tzibur. So you have that net in that format.
That seems almost like a concession in the Torah.
Well, that depends how you look at it. Either the ikah is, I'll give you an example. You have two types of superstructures. You have a nation that people are very fanatic about. Let's say, like in America in the early days, we're going to establish the United States and it's going to be a country and so on and so forth. So it's almost as if the nation is an ideal and every single person is a yachid that contributes to it. On the other hand, you have something like a homeowners association or something like that that take care of a varabayas in Eretz Yisrael, where it's an association by lack of choice. You're stuck. You all got to acting in concert. So what do? So you have an association, but you don't, you didn't buy the apartment here to be part of Arabayis. So it's a very different emphasis. Yes, there are things that you don't need at sea, but there's a massive clean common ground and so on. That's the okay. Aber am meisten mal hier schon Jüchler in das Galles. Kein nach der Reihe macht doch es an der WM, sie wenen le mal kvar. A sche macht dich schon gesprochen hier ist vor Kolpanem. He says, first of all, let's start with the fact. I'm telling you this picture because I don't need it logically, maybe, but you see that the Torah is full of that type of Yehudim. A sche macht dich schon gesprochen hier Kolpanem, weil viele ist los. Wir sehen sie jetzt haben die Admir Kirchen Love Day. Bin ich kolil neger as khav wenn ich am khiro on a personal khiro level, there's no reason why the Kadosh Baruch Hu will blow the whistle and move everything back to factory settings. If you're telling me that the best of all worlds in itself is a world where people come into this world, have opportunities to do good or bad, and then get their just rewards, then why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't intervene? It's counterproductive. At some point, whether we did well or not, the game's up and, you know, everybody gets a prize or something. So Bal Karchoch, the focus of the world is something else. It's realizing the ruts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have a world that reflects his Metzias. The Hechatimtz to get there is by giving us Bechira and allowing us to try to reach that Shlemus in our own right.
I understand, but the game is up at some certain point.
What?
But the game is up at some point for individuals.
So because that's because correct. So there's a subdivision of each yochid on his own. That's part of his own realization. But the bigger picture is the bigger picture. And that's what he says. You see from the fact that the bigger picture, be'etzem, contradicts the tzura of each person maximizing on bechira. Given the choice of maximizing your bechira, which means Mashiach would never come, and everybody just came to realizing a tachlis olam, the Akash Baruch Hu chose a tachlis olam. Chazal do tell us that there's going to be a stop. Now, the Ramchal adds one more point over here that really adds a tremendous level of depth to the entire point. He started out by saying, listen, you know, everybody comes to this world with Bechira, with Tov and Ran, and Skar and Onesh, and so on and so forth. Great. Then he launches into Yichud and so on, and he says, you see that the Tikkun Olam supersedes any individual accomplishment, realization, etc. But he said, it's not the pshat that it overrides it. Somewhere, the Oime Kavanasa is that these two Mahalchim should merge as one. We're not going to be left in a situation where somebody didn't get enough change. Like, you know, I could have lived another few years before Mashiach came and would have done a lot more schar, or vice versa. The two Mahalchim, the Mahalch that focuses on our Bechira is emphasizing us and not a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's Derech HaMishpat. The Mahalach that's emphasizing a Kodesh Baruch Hu making the world in the image that he wants it, emphasizes a Kodesh Baruch Hu to our detriment. In other words, no matter what we'll do and how we'll do, at the end of the day, he's still going to get his way. To us, the contradictory, and he says the safe pasuk is that the two will merge, they will come to an end together, not separately. The oimek atzos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that the idea and Bechira will act as one. That's what he's saying over here.
He's saying that you see the Yichud more because in the Mahalach of Bechira, we wouldn't be able
to. He says, right, you see contradictions. The first thing he's asked him is, you explain to me Yiddishkeit. Why don't you just stick with Bechira, Chavonish, Chetan, and Mitzvah, and Shalma Yisrael? Why don't you just stick with that picture? So he said, I have many, many psukim, not like that, and so much. And in a sense, that the concept of a Mashiach and a Seif and Achris Hayom and so on contradict Bechira.
So is there more Yichud Hashem if it comes not only the Bechira?
Well, because Yichud Hashem means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes his Ratzon irregardless of what we have in mind.
So that's kind of bigger Kiddush Hashem somehow than if we would have heard
it. Kiddush Hashem, but
Yichud Hashem.
You know, if I ask you to help me with something, so the implication is that I'm not capable of doing it. I asked you, could you help me carry this box? So the fact that I asked you to help me carry it implies I can't do it and I need you to do it. If, let's say, you see me carrying it alone, so you realize that I did it as a chesed project to make you feel included. One is going to be besides the other. Bechira and Yedia to us, or Yichud, the way he calls it, are really contradictory. And he says in the end they will come together in a way that we'll see them as one, despite the fact that it's something totally incomprehensible to us. My Rabbi Chaim Shlomitz used to say, he spoke about when you look at big events like a war or things like that, you can't look at every person's personal schavonish. You have to look at it as in the cheshbon haklali. So when somebody asks, how come such wonderful great tzaddikim were killed in the war? Is it a simon that they weren't big tzaddikim? The answer is no. There was a war, and there was Zayin Klal Yisrael, and that took a chunk out of Klal Yisrael, no matter who, no matter what. That's the right
thing. But the Kabbalah's...
What? Yeah, the Gemara. And then Reb Chaim would add, but at the end of it all, the cheshbon of the yachid, the cheshbon of Klal, will coincide. In other words, we can't look at it. Our perspective is that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will justify both together, and they will be, and they will, you know, project. That's what he would say. Okay.
He's already said that the reason for it is here, the first place is always being God's sin.
Correct, and that's what he asked, but let's say we choose no, we mark no on all the boxes, it still will come out. You know, that's what I asked. Is it possible, like when I asked you to help me with a box, so if I can, if at some point I just, you know, sometimes you ask a little kid to help, and at some point you thank him profusely, you pick it up, do it yourself, if feeling like probably more efficient, and you know, what will be the end of it? Now he says, so until now we've been talking about it in generalities. Let's speak more specifically. We've put down as an axiom that everything in the world hinges around Yichud. Yes.
Why isn't Schar Onesh itself giving if the Rishon get punished, is that Akilichid?
But it never comes together as one. It's like, imagine somebody writes an essay or a story or something like that, and I say, you know, he's got some great ideas, there are paragraphs here and there that really stand out, but the book as a whole doesn't gel. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create a lot of Yechidim. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world. And to say that Reuven's Bechir and Shimon's Bechir and Leah's Bechir did wonderful things, but where do I see the world as a whole doing something great?
When the Schar Onesh on each individual would be a certain level of Yechidim. This Mashiach put everything together.
Yes.
So much.
And it's a whole, it's like a difference between a varim or a whole shlemus of a thing. So he says, V'davaze matzanu b'shnei zman. So we said there are two times for it. Ha'echad b'yosid nista v'asin l'skalas, v'asheni achshin l'skalas. U'be'elo shnei zmanim reino ha'yosid tol ha'bad esonu kibol z'chara. Me'ata, בכל אחד מן הזמנים האלה יש לנו הפכן כל פרט שלו להסיק בו והיינו פרטי הלם יחודו לבד או פרטי גילו לבד. So we need to understand what's our place in a world that's in the phase of Hester, and what's our role in the world that's in a phase of Gilu. V'hainu pratel yichud levad or pratel gilu levad. V'oyd yeshon lahavin his kasha shnei hazman elu zeh v'zeh. And how do we understand the two epochs converging? There's got to be a point of transition. What does that look like? Because Baba blows a whistle and says, okay, kids, that's over. Now it's just good, whether you like it or not. I mean, what is the nekuda of transition? That's a very, very... that's an extraordinary point. I want to talk a little about this. It says in Sfarim that everything in the world, there are halakim in the world, there are midpoints, there are beings, phenomena that straddle both. Let's give an example. The mamutza, right. So for instance, you have it, and in biology, you have it all the time, where you have, in every phylum, you have certain life forms that say, well, this is, the virus is somewhere between the living and the not living.
Traditional.
Yeah. And you have certain bacteria that are somewhere between, certain beings that are somewhere between bacteria and virus. And they're very unique, and there's some things that are between the bacteria and one-celled animal creatures and so on. And you have these, the same way that an ape is halfway between man and animal life. You know, there are all sorts of coral is somewhere between living and inanimate. It's got certain characteristics of both. It's so evolutionary people look at this. Yes, these are the midpoints of transition. But we understand it very differently. In Torah, you have Lamashal, you have Megillas Esther, which, let's go first. There's a Mandiyama that says Yeshua wrote the last 8 Sukkim in the Torah. If Torah was meant to be only Moshe Rabbeinu Sefer, why didn't it finish Vayal Moshe Lahar? And then the sequel will be Joshua and you know, and so on. But the answer is Yeshua, it's Sefer Dvarim and it's Klolius is seen as being a link between the pure Moshe Rabbeinu's HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to Moshe Rabbeinu of the first 4 Sfarim to Moshe Rabbeinu talking and HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Kaveh as Torah, which is already Nevuah like. So Sefer Dvarim, it has different rules. Sefer Dvarim, you dash a smuchin, you don't dash a smuchin, and the other parts of Torah. So you have Sefer Dvarim, which is a mamutza between Torah and Nevi'im. You have Ischariah, Malachi, Chagasar, Malachi, who were part of Mashiach Nes Agdola. They straddled Nevuah and post Nevuah. They were of each. They have a din of Mashiach, they have a din of this. You have Sefer Esther, which was up in the air whether or not you could write and canonize it and make it part of Ksuvim. At first they rejected it and they took it. So Sefer Esther is between the two. You have something like Rav Tanahu Palik. Rav was an Amora, but he still has a din of a Tana, and so on. Anshik Nesagdola, the Shiori Ashakdola, Shimnat Sadik, who was the Shiori Ashakdola, was the first Tana to be mentioned in the Mishnah with a Memra. You always have a Mamutza between them. So the understanding is, if something is to be one, you must have things that, when you join two things together, a nail that joins two things together means half the nail is in one part, half the nail is the other part. The glue bonds to the material A on one side and material be on the other side. When you have a ring, that's when you have a chain, each ring is round two rings. It's half of it is inside one ring, half is inside another ring. Any time you have things that need to come together, you have something which is ma'achid to. So the hischabrus is extremely, extremely significant piece. You sometimes have things that don't glue together. The two things you can't join them together. They don't come together. They'll always stay apart. You have food stuff like that. You have all sorts of things like that.
Some level of nefesh. I don't know which level is which.
So correct. The nefesh. The nefesh itself is a memutzah from a physical being to something beyond it. And that's what the nefesh is.
He speaks about a matzah kipper that there's got to be a kli that sort of holds it, because that almost seems like it stands in opposition, that there needs to be.
I spoke last year on matzah kipper. We spoke about the bayis achitzin where the Kohen Gadol said his tefillah, and that was sort of the chibur between beyond and over here. I mentioned last year there's a beautiful Sayyid Yisham, extraordinary deep Sayyid Yisham. He speaks about the tefillah Kohen Gadol. I gave it as sort of a dugma. What I felt was Matzah Yom Kippur, that in the bias, the Kohen Gadol would be mispal in the bias achitzin. And the reason was, when you're on the outside, you're in this world, and you're not close enough to Kadosh Baruch Hu. When the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're beyond this world, and there's no more makim for tefillah. What am I asking for? In the Yom Shekuloi Shabbos Zemnucha, there's nothing to ask for. In the bias, in the middle, is the appropriate place for tefillah. So that's the chibur. That's why it says that he would be mispalel dafke there. People would always think, well, just like you go to Chrysler mispalel, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is where you should say his tefillahs. But he didn't. It was in the transition phase, because that tefillah requires an awareness of physical needs and an awareness of a mashpia lamala that gives the physical needs.
In that sense, there is no transition point. The two just drift away from each other or fall away from each other.
Yes.
There wasn't a shemitah tzaddik. The next door of
would not. It would be disjunct. Yeah. Right. It's like. In music, you once pointed out that something needed a mid piece because it just wasn't, going from A to B. It needed a transitionary piece, right? I heard a horror like that somebody, and I found it to be right. I looked it up in the Macarius, and he was right. It was a nig that he said, there's a piece missing. I mean, as far as I was concerned, there was more than enough. But he said, no, there's no transition between A and B. And sure enough. Nasal Ata Keseda, Vizay Yetzir Yishayna, Lehovin Prate Helam HaYichud. Let's try to understand first, he says that we're going, let's go in order. First, let's explain the Tkufa of Yichud. Helam HaYichud. Kuzman HaRishon. Umishpete HaNagosis Vazman HaZeh. And everything about the rules of Izan Hog. Vikan Yelon Levaya, Kolin Yon HaVeichot HaSeh, Vachanash HaNaseh, Oshabchin HaShnafim HaVazeh. So this will require us to understand all the details of avoda, how it's avoda and what's avoda and so on. Oma Seichel, Hakdama Achas Dolavikas Watsonka, Kodem Shinikanes Lifnimbi and Drachvez Baruch, Shpata Mashais Kimba. So now he says, okay, I'm ready to explain. I need one more hakdama. It reminds me of, as a young boy especially, but even now, it always, the chazan gets up there for Musaf, and he starts hinting on him a mass, and for half hour he's saying that he's not good, and he's not up to any good, and never was good, and and this and that. So okay, it's hakdama before that. Fine. Then, Hayyadafis, Amcha Yisrael, so on and so forth. Second Akdama. I really need to check because I'm about to begin the Avodah. And then, Oichilo Lekel, and so on. The position is also remarkable. It's almost at the end of the davening. I mean, there's very little left after that. There's just the Malkus and Shofros. The Piyutim are all gone.
Right, although some would argue Malkus and Shofros has an important place.
Yes, but if you look at the page in the Matz, you're almost there, or the Avodah and Kippur. But the you know, so you always wonder about all the Akdamas. He is very big into Akdamas and Akdamas. He said, but I want to Akdam. Amasha Mahi. Amma Seicho. Hine on a roim, chukim ishpotim, ashishbohim is eigenmayim. Anachim is raw. Midos adrochim tzadikim. Kashe gozoim kach mosoi. Ad shebavur hamidos elu yichasu lo. Torim rabim kacholdim and vima shalom. The elu of karonu rachum chan giba, the whole shaikinim a rabbish asa. He says, listen, Akonishbohim interacted with us in many, many ways, and we've developed the whole vocabulary of describing it, rachum chan rechapayim, and so on and so forth. Omnon kantichol obm das emuna vadoes sheishon lam chozer kilo yousu kolatorim vakinim ha'ilov yisbachu v'atzim v'avikon. None of these are descriptions of him. V'ashe'en kolapulos ha'ilu pu'uloi sheyivu yisbachu v'ashe'en ishvei tivaka. He's not acting with his own nature. Ela kulam inyanim she'nirtzum retzayne la'seisel v'ech nekroim she'atzim livroi v'kach. He's doing it in regards to where they're holding. Muslim Adava Daima. Imagine somebody is going to a hospital to be mevakachola and misameach kids that are sick lolling. So the person dressed up as a clown and he does all sorts of silly shtick with the kids. He's dancing, he's prancing, he's making faces, sticking out his tongue, and v'chola v'chola. So I come along and say, wow, this guy has a real clownish personality. It's a part of him I never knew. Or the guy is doing Kirov stuff. You know, and I say, wow, he's got a Kirov personality.
What?
I should try the clown.
You never know.
Didn't you tell me they were wearing wigs and whatever at the
So is that a right statement? No. The person himself might be a very, very serious person, and it's just that. He is, what you can say is he is clowning and being misameach somebody. And that 100% right. So whenever we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's activities, we are describing something which is the projection towards us, geared to us. Another mashal, let's say on a computer screen, you see a button, and you know the mouse, you click, and there's a thing that presses the button. Is that when you had a mechanical button? Yes, your finger was pressing a piece of metal, and the metal attached another metal, and the purpose was to press on another metal. On the screen, the click that does it, there's nothing like that happening to you. It's not as if it represents something clicking with you. It's just, in your mind, this is the way you represent a message to the circuit board, close down, or whatever it is. So this is explained in many places. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs nothing else to exist. But anything beyond that, so who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We don't have any part of our brain that has any chance of understanding it. We're not allowed to even think about it. Anything we could picture, describe in words or paint it, that certainly is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's above any tfisa with the seichel. He has nothing is in self that in any way is similar to anything that is in a nivra. The thing that's the most shleimus by us, chisern l'gavei yisbarach. Tzalkash pasuk is chisern v'lo nameh b'chukor kal v'ikar. Ki kol ma'ashin tzim nivra ma'atoy v'achisern shleimus hakol chadish. Mishu. Every single phenomenon we have this world, any way possible, was mischadish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shem Tzir Zbar Shoy Beit Soinei Vein Dorm Rak Ve'akeinu Vinyaneinu Lefek Vin Nisbara Vazeh Mikam Molei Tzivach Vayme Velmitit Amuni Vashave Yeim HaKadosh. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's nobody that you could possibly compare me to. I'm above it all, I'm beyond it all. So obviously he is saying this as Akdama here, because he will start discussing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacting with us, and therefore what we add by giving mitzvahs, how happy he is with our mitzvahs, what we do bad when we do averis, how sad he is. And he needs this Hakdama to tell you that has nothing to do with him. That's all in the vocabulary of the interaction.
Okay. It seems almost like a safe harbor kind of message. You know, like when companies speak to investors, they have to issue a safe harbor message, which essentially means anything we talk to you about now is within the realm of possibility, but we're not committing to it, so you can't sue us. So it almost seems like this sort of the safe harbor. Like
almost every safer that deals with this in Yonim, the Zohar Kaddish, Reb Shimon Chai, when he started speaking.
More recent spokesman or whatever.
What? Yeah, there's a book and so on. He starts off by saying, and so on. It's a problem because you can't talk intelligently about something. You know, when somebody tells you, it was such an experience, it's like indescribable. It's something that I couldn't possibly describe. That's not highly informative. It doesn't help you when if somebody's for 10 minutes telling you that he can't tell you anything about it. So shut up. You know, like what's. So I have to talk in words and terms and ideas, and yet I'm automatically introducing a sort of physical aspect, which I can't. So there's a balance.
He said kinuim and rachum and chanun. What about emes, kadosh? Are they also kinuim, or they're on a different level?
Well, kadosh is described. Kadosh and emes can be described in terms of what it's not. Emes means it is something that's true to the core.
But would that be on like a higher darga than these kinuim? Closer.
It's a high darga. It just doesn't lend itself.
Okay.
Emes is more a description that what you said hit the point exactly. It's not a description of a personality or characteristic.
We say Hashem Elokim Emes.
So we have to say the word Emes there means more that he's not. We are appearance. We exist, but in a limited way. Akash Baruch is unlimited. So it's much less. It's much less problematic. Okay. Yeah.
This is not, to me, it seems, again, it seems like in that investor presentation, it's like the safe harbor, everybody's the safe harbor. It almost seems as if this is not part of the narrative itself, but if this is like his safe harbor statement.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
Well, it will also help you put everything he says into a proper place.
Okay, so we're about to dive in, but you need to know that. Like,
there are chassidim, the Ashlag chassidim, who are... usually with me, your father.
Oh, okay.
It's a trouble.
Making his round.
That's very much.
See, he thinks he's a banker. His description, his core description of a father.
Is I don't even give him that persona.
the Dashlag Chassidim were very big. Everybody should learn Zohar. So there's a story that somebody they always picked Tveria because Tveria is kind of a very earthy course type of clientele. So they went around to a shul and they convinced somebody to learn Zohar, and the guy got into it. A few months later, he sort of starts becoming like a Mekubal / Tzaddik. He turns the guy next to him, Dabbing, and he says, you're just uttering words, you don't even know what it means. What's the Chasha Magdulo, Vagvur, Vatifres, Vatnitzach? Well, you say words, you don't know what it means. So I got to him and I said, you're right. He says, explain to me, what does it mean? He says, let me explain to you. He says, Gedula is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand. Gvur is his left hand, and Tiferes is his belly button. take it literally. I mean, he was coarse and everything just snow. Someone told somebody in Shiva, ate by somebody, very, very fine, a nice person who became from, never went to Shiva, but very, very, very intensely devout and constantly reading all sorts of Chassidus books, stuff like that. And this person told this bacha that he read that the reason why Kachbar created the world was because it was very lonely. Now, this person, this boy was like a ghost, and he tried to explain that it's kfira, and this guy said, no, you read it in his holy sefer, whatever it is. So the boy had enough presence of mind like to show him in the book that the book misifer did that, as long as he could explain it. But that's, if you don't have, that's the real reason why they discouraged Kabbalah from anybody who didn't have a more refined mind, because you think in simple terms, in earthy terms, of course terms, and since you have to talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu in terminology like that, you have a very hard time abstracting it, and you basically feed people hakshama, you feed people things that are wrong, tray.
On one hand, Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to relate to us. It's like the starting point is what is human. But on the other hand, there's a concept that Kadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, Tzelem, Elohim, meaning as though before, even let's say Elohim is not him, but it's some sort of thing that he created, way of relating to us. It's like, whoa.
So let's go back to the computer muscle again. You have the computer box itself, which works in a way that has no shaykhus to anything really that is physical part of our world. Bits on and off is meaningless entity. When the monitor and the language used to display is geared for us. But if we would not be shaykh to some of the things that the computer is processing, we couldn't even display it on the monitor. The fact that the monitor can serve as a display for it, and it's meaningful in our language as it is in the computer's language, shows that there's some sort of, there's a chibur. My chibur to Kadosh Baruch Hu is myself is capable of resonating to Tov. The fact that Kedusha and Emes and Tahara and Chesed resonate in us means that Kadosh Baruch Hu built, and they resonate that Kadosh Baruch Hu Ratzon is Tov and Emes and etc. etc. Kadosh Baruch Hu left in somewhere within our guf, there's something that resonates to them, and that's the Tzelem Elohim. Okay. I wonder what the use of a shalom for this.